So, hello, I'm Natalie Glasberg, working for the University of Cambridge, and I support our LinkedIn Learning initiative. And I'm joined by Jo So, who is one of our LinkedIn Learning student champions. So I'm going to hand over to you, Jo, just to introduce yourself, first of all.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jo Chui So. I'm a doctoral student at the Faculty of Education at Cambridge. So I'm very happy to share my experience with using LinkedIn and also LinkedIn Learning to prepare for employment.
Fantastic. Okay, so I can't wait to hear what you're going to say. So let's get started. Over to you, Jo.
Great. Okay, before I start, I'd just like to, you know, make it clear that I'm not one of those that actually was actively using LinkedIn and LinkedIn Learning before this program. So I like to also share the things I've learned and how I have benefited, you know, from learning about using LinkedIn, you know, and also LinkedIn learning. So in my sharing, I don't come from a place where I have everything sorted out, but more sharing my learning journey. So I hope that my experience will be an encouragement for those students who are also like me, you know, who are not actively using LinkedIn or LinkedIn Learning. And I hope that this will be an encouragement for you in your own learning journey. Okay, first, LinkedIn is actually a really good platform to create an online resume. One thing I've learned, you know, in my job search experience is that the HR manager would always do a search for you online. And if you do not have an online presence or digital footprint, that would be a problem. So actually, LinkedIn is one of the fastest ways to create an online resume and to have an online presence if you do not have a website or, you know, an online presence. So so I found that after I created my own profile on LinkedIn, and when I do a search for myself, I could find my LinkedIn profile as the number one, the first thing that, you know, comes on top, you know, when I search for myself. And that was actually a very, very good way to make sure that when I was looking for a job, the HR manager would be able to find me and get information about me. And I think on this point, it's also a very good idea to think very carefully about what kind of impression you like to offer on your LinkedIn profile, you know, because that is something that the HR manager will definitely see, because that is the first thing that comes up, you know, when they do a Google search for you. And therefore, by crafting a very well thought out resume on LinkedIn, you can also create the kind of impression that you would like to give to your potential employer. Yeah. Okay. Second, LinkedIn is actually a very, very good way to build a professional network. And because I wasn't actively using LinkedIn until maybe 6 months ago, I find that this is something that I wished I had started much earlier. And one thing that I learned, or I was taught, you know, when I attended some other networking workshops, was that it's very good, it's quite an easy way to build a professional network on LinkedIn. Whenever you attend a workshop, you know, instead of giving your business card, you know, it's good to just quickly send a LinkedIn connect request, and then you know, and then get connected on LinkedIn. So actually, that is the best way to build a professional network after every conference or after every meeting. Yeah. So instead of, you know, giving your business card, it would be good to actually immediately, you know, ask for their LinkedIn, ask for their name, and then search for them on LinkedIn, and then send a connection request. You know, and that would actually be a very natural to build up professional network when you attend conference or workshops. Yeah, so that's something that I started doing from 6 months ago, and actually I found that that was very helpful because in 6 months, I actually, you know, built up a network of over 100 connections on LinkedIn. Yeah. Okay, the third is that LinkedIn is actually very, very good for searching for job openings and to create job alerts. Once you kind of know where you like to work and what kind of jobs you're looking for, you could actually set a keyword alert. And almost every day, you know, you would receive alerts. And it's actually quite efficient because instead of looking for jobs, let's say at individual universities, a lot of universities will create job opening alerts on LinkedIn, and therefore you would be able to be notified on all the job openings, like from all the different universities, instead of looking for jobs, you know, one by one, looking at the website of every university individually. The fourth tip is that a lot of times when you find that when you look for a job or you're applying for a job, you might not be able to meet, you know, everything that they ask for in the job requirements. And actually, according to career service, you know, the HR advisors, they actually advise that if you could meet 80% of what the job requires, you should apply for the job. Then the question is, what do you do with the remaining 20%? Okay, so for this, this is where LinkedIn Learning is really helpful to help you close the skills gap for the remaining 20%. So if there are like a few skills that you might not have, you could take a course on LinkedIn Learning and then show that, you know, you are a self-directed learner and present the certificate, you know, that you have done from LinkedIn Learning to kind of show that you might not have any prior experience, but you have to take a relevant course to close the skill gaps that the employer is looking for. Yeah. And of course, you could display it on your LinkedIn profile, you know, the courses that you have taken that close your skills gaps. Now, the fifth is that LinkedIn Learning is actually very helpful to help you prepare for professional certification exams and earn continuing education credits. This is where I was so surprised when I found about this, and I realized that this is such a cost-effective way to prepare for professional certification exams. Personally, I was a certified PMP, professional project manager. And actually, my own personal experience is that when I took the professional certification exam, where I had to take a course of 35 hours in order to qualify for the exam for the PMP, I actually spent almost £1,000 just on the professional certification exam. And I found that actually you could, you know, clock that same 35 hours of training hours on LinkedIn Learning, you know, for that same certificate for the PMP, you know. So let's say if you are from a school where you would like to showcase your skills in project management, then I would encourage that you just use LinkedIn Learning to prepare for your PMP exam. And also, after you have earned the certificate, you know, and you're a certified project manager, you could actually keep your certification by earning your continuing education credits through LinkedIn Learning. And that is, again, another very cost-effective way to earn your education credits. Because for me, when I tried to keep up, you know, with that professional development to keep my PMP certificate, it was also very expensive, you know, to attend workshops. So sometimes just a workshop that I attend outside could cost maybe £400. Yeah, and I had to take many of those workshops in order to, you know, keep my certificate. Now, the last tip is that LinkedIn Learning is actually very, very helpful for supplementing the other training opportunities that you have in Cambridge. This is more applicable for students that might be even in your first year of postgraduate studies. You know, so job search is not on the horizon, but you would find that Cambridge, we have a lot of courses like, say, in statistics, in research and development, etc., and career service. But there are certain things that, you know, may not be covered, which would be very helpful skills to learn for employment, you know, such as entrepreneurship, or some of the more cutting edge skills or soft skills that will not be taught in Cambridge. So actually LinkedIn Learning is a very, very helpful source to supplement all the other workshops and training opportunities that you have in Cambridge. This is the end of my sharing, and I hope it has been helpful. So if there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Thank you.
One of the things you mentioned in your presentation is about your name, and you managed to find your profile very easily once you'd created it. But it just made me think about how important your name. So like when you're saying when you meet people when you're in a networking environment, to get the correct name. But how does it work with LinkedIn Learning or LinkedIn, sorry, when you're searching? Are you getting lots of people with a similar name, or it goes straight to your profile?
Yeah, this is a very good question. Actually, okay, first, you should do a search first. On Google your name and see how common is it. So when I put in my full name, like Zhou Qi So, it's not that common. So immediately my LinkedIn profile will come up on the number one search results. So therefore, I think it's important to make sure that your name on your LinkedIn profile is the same name that you put in your resume, so that when they search the exact name that you put on your resume, they would be able to find it so easily. So I think that's something that you have to think very carefully about. And another tip is that try to put all your names on your, all your handles, you know, your name on all your social media accounts the same. So for example, my Twitter was, handle was J-O-C, so my LinkedIn was also J-O-C, so I kept all my accounts the same, yes, but the display name is also the same, so it's spelled out in full. So this is something that you have to keep consistent. And for me, my social media presence is only on Twitter and on LinkedIn. So this is the two things that I was very conscious in curating and thinking about what information I bring presented and what impression I'm giving. And when I search my name, these are the two things that will come out, on the first and second results. Yeah.
That's a really good point. And I guess because you're using LinkedIn and your digital footprint in a professional sense. So I guess if you did to have social media accounts more for friends and family, you might want to consider a slightly different name for that purpose.
Yes, precisely, and that's what I did actually for my Facebook account. Yeah, I use my initial.
I think it's really important because when you start these accounts, you might not necessarily think about it, or you think about the long term. But definitely for a professional profile, it's a really good tip. And also, I guess to have a photo as well, so anybody that you meet and wants to LinkedIn with you, it's really good to be able to just share a profile picture on your LinkedIn profile as well.
Definitely. And about the LinkedIn profile, it's really important to have a complete profile. With a full profile. And LinkedIn Learning has a really good course called Learning LinkedIn. How to use LinkedIn. Or Learning LinkedIn for Students. So these two courses are really helpful in helping you create a full profile on LinkedIn. And it kind of highlights some of the lesser known functions, you know, that's available on LinkedIn. And I really encourage all the postgraduate students to go through that course. It's about 45 minutes, but there's lots of tips about the profile picture, about your abstract about who you are, you know, and the different sections that you could include information about yourself. And one thing about LinkedIn that it allows you to put in more information than a resume could. Like, so for example, you know, when you apply for a job, the resume is limited to only 2 pages. But your LinkedIn profile allows you to showcase a lot more stuff. So you could actually put in things such as your portfolio, you know. Okay. Yeah, or certain links to certain blogs that you have written, or even links to articles that, you know, you published, and your achievements. So if you won any awards and things like that. So it actually allows you to showcase different things. So like, for instance, I had made a presentation at an international conference, and I actually used the functionality, you know, to put in some of my conference slides. Yes, to kind of showcase what I presented and kind of to show my work.
Okay, so yeah. Is it easy enough to upload documents to your LinkedIn account as well? Or yes. Link? Yeah, so yes. It doesn't yes. just have to be websites that you link to. You can add your own documents and presumably videos as well, if you have any yes. presentations yes. and things like that.
Yes. Yes, you can, or you can create a link to that video or to a document. But for documents, it actually allows you to upload it. But if it's a video, then, you know, it might be better to like upload it on, let's say, YouTube, and yeah. then create a link to that YouTube video, something like that.
So I guess what you're creating, rather than a resume on paper, is it's much more interactive, isn't it? For an employee looking for somebody, they're going to get a lot more information about you than rather than just scan reading something on paper.
Yes. And I found that it was really hard to put in everything you want to show about yourself in 2 pages, you know? And a lot of times in your application, they would ask, do you have like a LinkedIn profile that you could share the link to? You know, it's part of the application that you could fill in. So you actually have a chance to put in a lot more information about who you are beyond that 2 pages that, you know, you present in the resume.
So it sounds like some of the applications you've looked at, it's very normal for the employer to already have something on LinkedIn.
Yes, because some will ask you, do you have like a website or, you know, a LinkedIn account, or what is a LinkedIn account? You know, so you could provide your LinkedIn account handle. Yeah. Or on your resume, like the career service in their sample resume, you know, on the top section, other than your phone number and address, you could also put your LinkedIn account on the top of your resume. Yeah. So that would also make it very easy for the HR manager to look you up.
Yeah. Mind you. Yeah. Okay. That's true. That's really good advice. Definitely things I haven't thought about. So you've been using your LinkedIn account to share your experience, and you mentioned about switching on notifications for jobs and things that come up. Has there been things that have related to your experience? Does it match well for those
Yes, basically as long as you kind of know what are the main keywords that the job will be looking at, you know. So it is like product manager or instructional designer, that kind of thing. So as long as you use the right keywords, like say instructional designer, then all the jobs that, you know, are related to instructional designer, you will be notified, especially if it's within your geographical region that you have set.
If there's a specialism, certainly you want to add that. And if you're sort of focusing on a career in an area, you certainly want to make sure you have those tags or those keywords selected.
Yeah. And you can always select like a couple, you know, like two or three, you know. So you, if you are looking for jobs, like, so you kind of know what these jobs are most commonly called, like, in terms of the job titles. Yeah, so you could set, like, let's say, 3 alerts.
Okay, that sounds really again, another thing to note. I really like that you talked about how you can use LinkedIn Learning to fill in some skills gaps. So are there any particular courses you used on LinkedIn Learning? Was there anything that you wanted to, in particular, sort of upskill in that you used the LinkedIn Learning service?
Yes, because I have a PhD in education. I mean, I had I'm a certified project manager, so I had the PMP certification. But a related job is a product manager, you know. So, like, development of educational products and services, you see. So it's kind of related to my study, but I don't have a professional certificate, you know, on project management. So I was interested to know, like, what's the difference between a project management and a product manager, you know. And when I applied for some jobs that are, you know, for product manager, I actually, took up a course on what is a product manager, what do they do, how's it different from a project manager, and things like that. Yeah. So those were helpful because I may have the relevant skills and background and experience, but I have never worked as a product manager before, you see. So therefore, taking a course in that area will be helpful to kind of, at least, you could say that, you know, I know what a product manager does, what is it all about, how's it different from project management, and things like that. Project management is a key skill set in product manager, as a product manager.
Sounds like a really good way to prepare for something. Yeah, if you haven't had experience, then you can do the online course to give you a feel for what that role is going to entail and pick up on things that are going to help you to do the job.
And also sometimes in the job description or the requirements, they use certain terms that is different from what we use in academia. You know, like, for example, they use this term, like, user experience, analyze user experience stories. So I'm like, okay, what is user experience stories, you know? Then when you kind of do a keyword search on LinkedIn Learning, and then you could just watch a short video that they explain about analyzing user experience stories, then I realized, oh, actually, it's like qualitative research, you know? You just analyze the experience of users. So this is something that I already know, but just that we don't call it user experience stories.
I think some companies use different jargon or different phrases, whereas LinkedIn Learning, maybe you'd be using more generic terms that are used in the
or a business setting, or the corporate setting. So in that sense, it really helps me to kind of understand, okay, what does this term mean, and things like that. And I feel like, okay, for, let's say, some of the engineering postgraduate students, LinkedIn Learning is really helpful in helping you learn some of the softwares that you might not have learned in Cambridge, or you have not learned the same software. Like, for example, some of the but you could easily pick up yourself, you know, just by taking the course on LinkedIn Learning. Like HTML or, you know, some of the other coding language, that you could, you know, upskill easily and learn on your own just by taking a course. So these are certain things that, you know, you might not learn in Cambridge or you use a different software, but you could easily bridge the gap yourself by taking a course on LinkedIn and learning and kind of show your employer that, I know this software.
Yeah. And I thought it was really interesting when you talked about the cost saving with the credits, with some of the four courses you'd had to pay for, whereas you could actually be using the university's LinkedIn Learning service to supplement that, which obviously at Cambridge is free for the students and staff. I'm just wondering, because it sounds like you've engaged a lot with LinkedIn Learning with the, you know, in a professional way, and also with the courses. I'm just thinking about other students watching this, if you could give them some advice about how you use LinkedIn Learning alongside your formal training as well, your formal university training, because you have a lot going on, clearly. So is there any advice you can give for like managing time or using LinkedIn Learning so it's not too overwhelming on top of your other studies as well?
How to use LinkedIn Learning so it's not too overwhelming? Like, for instance, I try not to use LinkedIn Learning. I watch LinkedIn Learning, let's say when I'm traveling, you know, because during like COVID times, I do travel like an hour, you know, to the university. So I kind of download all the videos and watch it, let's say on the train. So I feel like LinkedIn Learning is really helpful to learn on the go. Or when you have like maybe you have 15 minutes or 20 minutes, you know, in between, let's say during lunchtime. So it's kind of, because the videos are also short, you know, it's very quite easy to kind of go through the whole course, let's say 45 minutes, let's say in 3 or 4 sittings, you know, you just squeeze in like 10, 15 minutes here and there, and you could easily finish, let's say a course of 45 minutes, let's say over 4 short sessions. So it would leave me big chunks of time for my own research, you know, but I kind of fit in the LinkedIn Learning kind of sessions, you know, in those short snippets of time in between, let's say lunch or during traveling. Yeah, just 10, 15 minutes here and there. And that was helpful to keep learning on LinkedIn Learning without it feeling overwhelming.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was one. And then the second thing is, there's so much on LinkedIn Learning that actually I kind of make it a point to kind of do a search for things I'm interested in. Like, for instance, when I was thinking about editing, like how do I improve my editing skills, right? So I actually like did a search on editing and I found that, oh, there's a really good course on editing. Or like I was interested in branding, like how do I create my profile, or you know, like an online presence, like what kind of brand you want to present yourself. So there are courses on like how to be a thought leader, about personal branding, you know, that I kind of go through. And I think those were really helpful. And even when my friend like asked about, let's say, does anyone know how to use, let's say, an analysis software called Envivo? And I actually tell my friend that, oh, actually LinkedIn Learning has a really comprehensive course on using Envivo. You see, so there are certain statistical software that they also will teach. For instance, I find that sometimes you need to learn to create, let's say, certain pictures, you know, for let's say banners or for pretty slides, you know, to make a very nice slide or to create infographics. And I was told that, you know, you could do that on Canva. So when I searched on LinkedIn Learning, I realized, oh, there's a course on how to use Canva. You see? So basically there's like a lot of things that you can think of. You could just do a search and then you will find that, oh, they actually teach you how to use that. You know, and I think for me, I'm someone that likes to learn like everything like thoroughly. So like let's say you know, how to create like infographics on Canva, you know. So when I found that there's a course on how to use Canva, I was so excited, you know. So I find that all this were really helpful. So like kind of whatever you can think of, you could just do a search and see if it's on LinkedIn Learning. And I felt that was really helpful, like what I said, to supplement whatever you know, is offered in Cambridge, and I felt that it really enriched my learning a lot. Yeah. So I highly recommend it.
It sounds like you've really utilized the service and really sort of delved into the creative things that you could learn, as well as the business side. And I really like that how you use just short bits of downtime just to listen to a short video, and then over time you've gained a lot from it.
Yes. No, because there is some initiatives in Cambridge, for example, they talk about public engagement and things like that, and I think that in public engagement, how to create beautiful slides, infographics are so important as part of public engagement. But, in the course, there isn't there's no time for them to teach you how to create infographics and things like that. So these are things that you need to learn yourself. And I find that in Cambridge, the things that we are taught tends to be more technical. Yes. So there's less training in terms of creating infographics, the more creative side, but it's also important, But these are the things that you could learn yourself on LinkedIn Learning.
Thank you so much, Jo. It's really interesting. I think you've definitely shared some great advice there. It does make me want to start doing some more learning courses myself, because there's so much there, isn't there? And you can use it really to complement your studies or your career path as well. So thank you so much. And
my pleasure. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Is there anything else you want to say, or you're happy?
I'm glad. I'm just thanks for the opportunity to share my experience. And I just like to encourage anyone that's watching this to really utilize this free resource. I think it's such a steal, to have this for free. And to have the full version, because in the past, my university offered it to us, but it was only, it doesn't allow you to have the certificate or to download the learning files, so we could only just watch the videos. So it wasn't the full version, but this is the version where you could actually download all the learning files and you could actually finish the course and have a certificate of completion. So this is the more expensive version, and for us to get it for free, I thought that was really a steal. So I do encourage the students to utilize this.
Thank you.
And make the most of our time in Cambridge.